15 years ago, I was on my first mission trip to Mexico, and I think it was our first youth trip with our church, and it was before we went to One Life, One Chance, and this trip, we were handing out invitations to see the Jesus film, and then we'd share the Jesus film and share the gospel. So one day, we were out driving around, well, we parked and walked around this rural community handing out invitations to see the Jesus film. And in Mexico 15 years ago in this rural community, a bunch of white kids running around handing out things is quite an attraction because they don't see that as much. So we were able to meet with people and hand these out. And so as we were done and we got back in our vehicles, I was driving the minivan behind the leader that was there in Mexico that led our trip. He was in the car in front of us, and we were driving out and we were talking about what had happened, and a couple from our group had handed out this invitation to this lady that just seemed to be having something weird happening. And they sensed that they should pray with her, and she invited them into her, you know, house, and they just said that it was an amazingly powerful moment of prayer that just, and as they were describing it, we just kind of had the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of feeling of, wow, that's amazing what God did there. I can't remember the details, but I just remember that feeling. And then as they were telling that, the leader in front, he stopped, pulled over his car a little bit, so I stopped behind. And he handed an invitation to a guy on the side of the road, this dusty road. And then right as we were sitting there, he proceeded to tell him the gospel and pray with him. And we were just like, wow, we just experienced God's power in prayer and God's power of the gospel in these two moments. And we were just like, this is so amazing. We just want to experience this more. Well, we came home, and I think we were all still praying, all still looking for opportunities to share the gospel, but we didn't experience that kind of power in the months that followed like we did there. And as I thought about that and think back on that, two of the many things that I struggle with, but two of the things that I struggle with a lot over the years are prayer and sharing the gospel. Prayer is so powerful. It's connecting with Almighty God. And the amazing thing is, not only are we allowed to boldly enter His presence and talk with Him and share our feelings and ask Him for things, but He wants us to. And it's connecting with Him. And I do have wonderful moments of prayer, but I also have other times where I feel like it seems like He just doesn't care. Or maybe He doesn't hear me, or, you know, and it's it just feels like a lot of work. And sharing the gospel has been a struggle for me as well. I know I have the answer the world needs, and yet people don't seem to be willing to hear it sometimes, or I'm not ready to share it when I feel like I should be, or I just really struggle. And I imagine I'm not alone. I imagine many of you struggle with prayer. I mean, I'm sure many of you have wonderful prayer lives, and that's wonderful. But I imagine you still want more of the experiences that are wonderful when you're just connecting with God and it's powerful. Some of you may feel like you've prayed so many times for the same thing again and again that you feel God doesn't even care, or you wonder if He even hears you. And some of you wonder, you know, if putting in all the effort is worth it. Some of you have a hard time finding the time to do that. Whatever your relationship with God is, I imagine you struggle a bit with prayer. And many of you probably struggle with telling people about Jesus as well. Maybe you feel guilty about walking away from a conversation and you didn't bring Him up. Whatever your struggle with sharing the gospel, I imagine we're not alone, and we all struggle with those things. So praying and sharing the good news of Jesus. Bible not only says these things are powerful, we're commanded to do them. And yet we struggle. So why do we struggle so much? And how can we obey God's commands to pray and to share the gospel and experience, you know, the power that's available there? So this morning, this first Sunday morning of 2019, as we look towards a new year, I want to set our focus on the right, set the tone for our focus, I guess, for this year. And I want to take you to a passage that might help with some of these questions and set that focus. So it's Colossians 4, 2-6, and it'll show up here on the screen in a minute, in a second here, I think. There it is. So let's read that together. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. As I've read this, thought about it, pondered it, studied it, I've started to feel a little like a captain of a battleship. It was a dark night, the weather was bad, it was foggy, and the lookout spotted a light. And the captain said, "Is it steady or moving?" And he said, "It's steady." So he's like, "That means we're on a collision course." And so the captain ordered the signal to be sent out, change course 20 degrees, we're on a collision course. And the signal came back, advisable for you to change course. And then the captain signaled, "I'm a captain, change your course 20 degrees. And the reply came, "I'm a seaman, second class, you better change your course 20 degrees. The captain was furious, and he said, "I'm a battleship, change your course." The reply came back, "I'm a lighthouse, your call." When I struggle in prayer, and when I hear about how other people struggle in prayer, a lot of times it's around things like, "God doesn't seem to hear my prayer. God doesn't seem to care about what I'm asking about. It's really tedious. I feel like I'm just going through my list. It feels ineffective." And when you really think about what these struggles are about, they're kind of about a power struggle. Like that battleship and the lighthouse. We want our prayers to be answered because we think we know what's best. We want to experience God in a specific way that we think is right. And do you see the power struggle there? So most of our difficulty in prayer is a misunderstanding of prayer. In these verses, I think we're redirected to what's the focus. What's the most important thing in prayer? Prayer isn't about me and getting what I want, the answers I want, the feelings I want. It's about God's mysterious plan. Notice how Paul, the author of the book of the Colossians, asks for prayer. Now, keep in mind, he's in chains in a jail cell, okay? So as he writes these verses, if I were him in jail, in chains, I would be asking God to get me out. I'd be, "God, do a miracle. Drop these chains off me, open the doors, let me get out." Or maybe I'd be asking for safety from the, you know, inmates that probably have done something a lot worse than I have and I'd be scared of, or the jail keepers that might be rude to me or whatever. At my best, I would probably ask for strength to carry on in a way that pleases God. But Paul doesn't ask for any of those things as he sits in jail. He asks that God would give him opportunities to talk about God's mysterious plan concerning Christ and that he would do it clearly. Isn't that amazing? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think prayers that focus on me are wrong or misguided or selfish. When you read through the Psalms, the prayers of the psalmists whose prayers are in God's Bible, in the Bible, they pray a lot for themselves. It's okay and good to pray for ourselves. But I think the redirect, the correction we may need, is the focus on our prayers. It should rarely be to make life better for us. And always should be towards God's plan. So what does this mean? I think it means we can ask for strength and resources and wisdom, not for our desires, but to complete God's work that he has for us to do. no matter how hard or simple it is. I've practiced praying through the Psalms a couple times this year. Just prayed through 1 through 150 and then started again. And it's given new life to my prayers. It's been more exciting, a deeper feeling, because it's shifted me from asking God for things for me to praising him for all that he is. And it's really amazing, because as I read a verse, a line, and then talk to God about, you know, what that means to me, how great he is to have done what that verse talks about him doing, or when it talks about who he is, what that means to me, it gives me a starting point for my imagination to think about who he really is. Instead of me trying to come up with stuff to praise him for, it's right there. It's been really amazing. And then praising him easily leads to thanking him. So as I praise him for all he is and all he's done, it's easy for me to thank him that he cares about little me. So I praise him for his worth, and my focus shifts, my perspective shifts to, wow, you know, like, it is all about him. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you care about my little things that don't seem so big right now, because I'm in the presence of Almighty God. And that's what Paul says. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So God-focused prayer, praising him and thanking him, gets our perspective in the right spot to begin thinking about his plan. And that's where the next verses lead. What's his plan? It's telling others about Jesus. First, so Paul asks that the original readers would pray for him, that he would share Jesus clearly. And then he tells them and us how we should be ready to share the love of Jesus. But notice how he does that. He doesn't say tell us what to say, but he tells us how to live. And I think Paul's words are really relevant to today, to where we live now, where authenticity is such an important thing to people. Our biggest message to the world isn't our words and how eloquently we can present a proof of God's existence or an argument, but it's our lives, how we live, how we treat people, our lives along with our words. The way we live on a regular basis is what people think about us and whether they can trust us or listen to us or not. And so if what we say doesn't match up with what we do, then they think we're thought of as insincere and even hypocritical. And as soon as that happens, no matter how true our words are, we're discounted. Our life is our message. But that doesn't mean we have to be perfect, and especially doesn't mean we have to pretend to be perfect. And so this is really tricky. So let me give you an example. I can imagine, not that any of you would do this, but I can imagine someone would say, walk away from today and say, Jeff said we should be authentic. I don't like my neighbor, so I'm just going to tell him, you know, or I'm just going to, you know, ignore him. And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that as you praise God, redirect your focus and prayer to his plan, we begin to want what he wants, even as we struggle with our impurity and brokenness. And so even if our neighbor bothers us, we still recognize God's desire for his soul. And we recognize that, you know, I may not like this guy, but I need to love him. And so when we do something rude or hurtful, even if it's in response to something they did, then we own it. What I mean is we take responsibility for it. And we walk over and we apologize. And in that authentic moment, the message of love is shared. And that's just an example to emphasize that we're ordinary people who've found or been found by an extraordinary, the most extraordinary person, Almighty God, who's there helping us and guiding us. And it's about him, not us. And we're broken and hurt, and we just have help. And we have that to offer to other people that are hurt and broken as well. And of course, the next part is our words. We do need to be ready with our words, but they don't need to be perfect. And you know why? Because if they needed to be perfect, it would be about us. You know, I need to share this perfectly because it all depends on me. And it doesn't. God's the one working in the person's life. God's the one who has a plan, and you're part of it in that process. And he knows where you're at, what you can say, what you know. And so it doesn't say we have to have the perfect words, but it says it's how we share it. Of course, we want to know the truth, but Paul's emphasis is on how, with grace and attractively. Isn't that wonderful? It's an invitation, not a condemnation. So it's not about how much I know or knowing the right formula to lead Jesus to perfectly, to lead someone to Jesus perfectly. It's about God and that he's working and that I get to be part of it. He's the one working in the lives of the people we talk to. He's the one that knows what they need, and that we, with whatever wisdom that we have or don't have, being there, sharing our experience is what is needed at that moment. So this doesn't let us off the hook, but it makes it a little more natural and a little more approachable. When I think back to the time in Mexico when the leader led this guy to Christ in front of us, I have a lot of mixed feelings about that moment. On the one hand, I wish that I could do that all the time with everybody around that I meet and just share Jesus and have them pray with me. On the other hand, I wonder if the guy was just accommodating the leader and if it meant anything. Because it is a culture. We're reading, every time we take a mission trip, we read a book called Foreign to Familiar, and it talks about different cultures. And this is a culture, it's called a warm climate culture, where the relationship and how the person feels is more important than the truth sometimes. In the book, there's an example of asking somebody directly for directions, and they, even if they don't know, they'll say, oh yeah, it's right around there and around the corner, so that you feel good. Even though you get there and it's not where it is, you're just like, what? So it's a different culture. And so I wonder, was he just accommodating the leader? Because he knew that's what he wanted, so he did it. So what's Jesus asking us to do? And I don't have the answer to all these questions. And I'm learning that's okay, because I'm not the one that needs to have the answers. I know the one that has the answers. And it's not that I should give up asking the questions, but he'll let me know in his time, as I need to know. And I'm walking with him, and it's awesome. So let me pause for a minute and just review. First of all, prayer is not about me. It's about God. And as we praise him for who he is, what he's done, it easily leads to thanking him for who he is to us. And then it shifts our perspective in the process to his plan, and that's really what we want, more than these little things that we think we want. As we get in that mindset, we want more of him and for his love to be known. So then our prayers should focus on how we live our lives. God, help my life to proclaim your love so that I'm ready when somebody comes across my path. So in order to proclaim that message, we need to know it more and more. We need to live it more and more. We need to be studying it and growing in it and preaching it to ourselves again and again and again. But it becomes a natural process. Now, I grew up learning about evangelism. A word called evangelism. This is a fancy word that I learned means tell people about Jesus. And I learned that you need to do evangelism, and I even learned a bunch of formulas for how to do it. And I'm not saying that that's wrong now, but what I want to do is put that in a little context. Because evangelism isn't something you just go and do sometimes. It should be about who we are. We are people who are filled with the gospel that changes and transforms us, and it just oozes out of us. So let me give you an example. Most of you know Gord Boswell. Gord Boswell stands up here And when he plays guitar, you just know he's feeling it. You know, I can't do it, but, you know, like, he dances around, and I love it. I think most of us do, and he has a beautiful voice. And we know this. We know he has a passion for music. But imagine you didn't know him, and you went to a social function. He was there, and you started talking to him. How long do you think it'd be before some of that passion for music would ooze out of him? I kind of don't think it would be very long. It would somehow come up, and you'd recognize, this guy likes music. You know, he might even start dancing in front. No. I have another friend who loves fishing. He's passionate about it. You know, when he talks about it, you just see him light up. And I've never liked fishing. I didn't have a good teacher when I was young, and I wasn't successful at it, and I got bored. But talking to Paul, I was just like, man, if he invites me, I'm going to go. And so he invited me, and I went, and I still didn't like it, but I liked being with him because he had passion for it, you know? Like, the passion just oozes out. And you see what I'm getting at? If we are in love with Jesus, you know, praying, praising him, thanking him, redirecting our focus through that, it'll ooze out of us. It's a lifestyle. It's getting to know his love, living in it, and then sharing it. And so here's my challenge to you this morning as we begin a new year together. Make prayer a priority. And make praising prayer a priority. And a good way to do that would be to start with the Psalms. I mean, you could start with Psalm 1 and go through. Psalm 1 doesn't feel like a praising psalm necessarily, but you can praise him through it. But Psalm 145 would be a good place to start. That's a praising psalm. But just read a line and then let your imagination go about how great God is. I mean, I think he gave us an imagination to do this. Imagine, like, we can't imagine anything greater than he is. So imagine the greatest thing you can, and then press that and praise him for it. I mean, that's who he is. And then thank him. And as your focus shifts to his greatness and his all that he is, and that you want his plan, then pray that your life would proclaim his love, and that you'd have opportunities to do that and take advantage of them. So pray for a life that proclaims his love. Let's pray. God, you are amazing. You are our refuge, our strength, all these things we sing about. And Lord, that means something different to each of us. To me, it means that my security is in you, not in my relationships with people here, not in my bank account, not in anything else. It's in you. For each of us, it means something else, and I pray that you would help us to learn how to praise you more and help us to set that focus this year. Thank you that we can come into your presence boldly through what Jesus did for us. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you where you live inside of us. Please just help us to proclaim your love with our lives, to be so excited and passionate about who you are that it just oozes out of us, and we look for opportunities to share it. So bless us as we go into our week. In your name we pray. Amen.